Hello and good morning. It's time to start our worship service. We're so glad to see everyone here today. Folks are still coming in. Let's all stand for our first song. Favorite gospel songs, 154. Very good. Be seated. Thank you so much. Let's turn over to page 13. A song everyone should know, page 13. Thank you, Brother Hackett.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody that's come out today. We are glad to see everybody coming in for our service today. We have a beautiful Lord's Day, and I hope that you will enjoy the beauty that's on the outside, but let's look for the beauty on the inside today. If we will truly worship the Lord today in this service, we will truly see the beauty of God. And that's as beautiful as it is outside today, God is more beautiful. This is one of my favorite times of year. I love the springtime when everything starts blossoming and everything starts looking green again, and we see the new life as it comes through. But God does a number this time of year as far as showing off His artwork, and that's something that I really enjoy seeing. But if we'll look for the spiritual blessing that is to be had in our church today, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a wonderful time, and you're going to see the beauty of God, and you'll just be blessed so much that you'll think, man, that was so beautiful today. Just doing what the Lord would have you to do in this service would be a wonderful, wonderful thing today in this service. We are so glad to see each and every one here today. We appreciate the good number that has come out today. I hope and pray that we can all be found doing what the Lord would have us to do in this service. And we just pray that we can all just enjoy God's goodness today. I do have one thing I want to do right quickly. This was Association Week up at New Zion Church. We met together for the Wiseman Association, and we talked about different things that could, excuse me, that could help us to invite people. And I told them about our cards that we have and how that we can pass them out to individuals and that they can just get an invitation that way. Brother Harrison and Brother Massey both give another suggestion, and I've asked you to do this, and that was to write your testimony down. And I said, write it down so that I could have it. I can enjoy it later is what I can do. But this was their suggestion. Write down a brief part of your testimony. I don't know how much you do. Make several copies of it, and as you go out somewhere, just hand it to somebody. Let them read your testimony. And I thought that was worthy of passing on to our church. I'm satisfied Brother Massey has told you that in years past while he was pastor here, but I thought that was such a good idea. Just a little slip of paper telling how Jesus saved your soul, and not doing doctrinal or anything, just telling how Jesus saved your soul. And that can help them to think about needing to be saved. Now, I thought it was a good idea. I'm passing it on to you today. And we're just so thankful that we have the ability to tell people about being saved. I do. I'm thankful I have that ability. I'm afraid sometimes, as we talked about in our Sunday school class today, that sometimes we don't use that ability as much as we ought to. So keep that in mind today. I'll hush and go on. Let's move on with our service today. Brother Sam always does the children's church for us today. We'll turn it over to Brother Sam at this time. All the kids, you can head this way.
Over here, this side. Oh, they just keep coming. Very good.
Good number.
Very good. Hello? Man, y'all are a good-looking group. Yeah. Everybody glad to be back in school from fall break? Yeah. No. I got a mixed response there, Trey. But we're looking good. I won't keep y'all too long. But anything. We've been talking here some lately about, you know, the truth in the Bible and what we find in that, right? And how it can be counterfeit, how it can be given to you in bad ways. But the Bible is full of advice. The Bible is full of what I call warning labels. Y'all know what a warning label is? You ever heard of one? I bet I got some right here. Today is show and tell. All right? These are things you might find at home. Look at this. Y'all should go to Sam's Club and get some of these. This is like chocolate and coconut. But there's a label on here. It says, warning, you know, contains coconut and things that might come in touch with nuts, you know. There's allergens in there, okay? Are y'all allergic to stuff? Anybody allergic to anything? No? Well, here's another one. This is like a little pack of nuts. It says, you know, don't give to children who cannot chew. You know, some people might, you know, they might get choked or something. So there's a warning label on that, okay? Here's a vitamin B. This is like vitamins that we take. It has a label on it. It says, you know, persons who have a health condition should consult their doctor before taking this. So it gives you some advice. You want to enjoy it, but it says there's warnings. What else we got in here? What else did we bring? Oh, here's some allergy medicine, okay? It says don't take this if you have an allergic reaction. So there's a lot of things that we take that we got to be careful, right? You have to be careful of what you use it for. You want to get the benefit. I had to laugh when I read this because do y'all know what common sense is?
What is common sense?
Yes. Okay. That's right. It's not very complicated. So we just use our simple reasoning, okay? This is a can of chicken soup. And it tells you how to cook it on the stovetop. Okay, but at the end, it gives you this caution thing. Product and container will be hot when you take it off the stove. It's on there, brother. Common sense rules. Common sense applies. So be careful with that chicken soup. Does the Bible have any warning labels? It comes with some instructions. A lot of it is common sense, but a lot of it is very direct. A lot of it tells us. One of the greatest warnings that I find in there, it says, prepare to meet thy God. Amen. And I know that a lot of you have. I know that a lot of you don't have a testimony. But it also says in another place that don't leave this life unprepared. Yeah. So the warnings are there. The warnings and the advice are in the scriptures. And you got to know the truth. We've talked about the truth, Zoe. We have talked about that many times. So, all right. That's my little lesson in the warning labels. They're in everyday life, but they're also in the most important words that you can find is in the Bible.
Thank you, Brother Sam. I always appreciate Brother Sam's lessons. Today on warning labels, I think we can all find those little warning labels that we talk about many times is they're silly. A cup of coffee may burn. Like I said, somewhere or another, somebody did not figure out the common sense of that is what we understand. So, but the common sense parts of the Bible, we need to help the world to understand. Is what we need to do. With that being said, let's move right along with our service today. We are glad to be in the presence of God today in this service. And I wonder if anybody has a prayer request before we go to the Lord in prayer. We need to be prayerful one for another. Our lesson today, Brother Stewart talked a lot about loving one another. And I pray that today in our service, that and in this prayer, that you'll take a moment of time to say, Lord, help me to love my neighbor more than what I've been doing. You know, it's important for us, and I'm not talking about the person sitting next to you. Yeah, you're supposed to love them. I'm not talking about your neighbor as far as the people that lives next to you. But the Lord let us know that everyone is our neighbor. And let's pray that the Lord will increase our love for everyone is what I hope we'll do. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Lord, help. Lord, help. Let's do remember Sister Barbara's nephew. Somebody else. If no other prayer requests, we'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way today. Whether that be out loud or quietly, just pray, please, is what I asked you to do today. As I said, I'll call on one. Brother Chad, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Let's sing number 24. We'll stay on the theme of love. Page 24. Amen. Good singing. Let's do one more congregational song, Lord willing. Choir, won't you stand? Let's sing 188. 188. Everyone sing out. Entitled, It Had to Be Love. Thank you. Amen. Brother Sam's going to sing us a special at this time. Thank you, choir.
It's kind of a late addition to the music set this morning. I got a text within the last day or so about trying to sing, and this one just kept coming to mind, and that's what I'm going to go with. So it's an old song, and all of you know it, so you can sing with me if you want. It talks about my Savior, your Savior,
bless.
The Savior, amen. The Savior of the world. Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. He left the Father with all his riches, with calmness sweet and serene, came down from heaven and gave his life blood to make the vilest sinner clean. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail scarred, his side was riven. He gave his life's blood for even me. Death's chilly waters I'll soon be crossing. His hand will lead me safe, for I'll join the chorus in that great city and sing up there forevermore. Help me out here. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail scarred, his side was riven. He gave his life's blood for even me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Good song, good sing. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning? Word of testimony or anything? Everybody do what the Lord would have you to do today in this service is what I would ask you to do. And just ask you to do what the Spirit moves you to do today is what I would want you to do in this service. It's been a blessing thus far to be in the house of the Lord today, and I hope you count it as a blessing as being in the house of the Lord today. I do need to say we are glad to have all of our visitors with us today. We've got several with us today, and we appreciate your coming to be with us today, and just hope you'll make yourself right at home with us, and hopefully we'll treat you so many different ways you'll like one of them at least. And so we just pray that we can be found as a church that loves each and every one, is what I hope you do today. I'm going to say most of us men remember back a year or so ago when the women got the note. And we all of us men, they played a joke on us, for you visitors. They played a joke on us, is kind of what they did. And every man came in, just about every man came into church with the exact same shirt on. The women got the note. Me and the Lord didn't get the same note today. The Sunday school lesson was about love. All the songs was about love today. And I love that. That's good. It needs to be. But that's not the message the Lord has given me today. If you would like to turn over to the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, 17th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. I'll have to be honest with you. There's a few sermons, and I mentioned this a week or so ago. There's some sermons that preachers do not like to preach. For me, one of the ones is of the stories, what we'll say the children's stories. You know, the ones you heard when you was little, your parents told you about David and Goliath, about Daniel in the lion's den, and those stories. It is hard for me to get my mind away from those stories the way it's done. But you're going to have to pray for me today that the Lord will give me liberty to be able to bring this message out the way He wants it done. This is the chapter for David and Goliath. You know the story, how that God had already had Samuel to anoint the youngest child of the brethren of Jesse. That was David. David was a youth. Some of the studies and thoughts that they've had, he was probably only about 12 to 13 year old at this time. I'm talking about when he went and met Goliath. 12 to 13 year old. That kind of puts him in the stage of about like Joshua back there, or Malachi over here maybe, somewhere along in that age. I know Malachi is older than that, but he in that age range is about what they say that David was at this period in time. The way David got there was that the Philistines and the Israeli people, the children of Israel, had come together at a valley of Elon. The pictures that I've saw of this, it's probably about a quarter of a mile wide. The Philistines was over here, and the Israelis were over here. And as they were getting ready to fight, the way they did that years ago was, basically, they'd stand there and holler at each other. Occasionally, they might throw spears or something like that at each other, but far as just till it got to a certain point, then they would clash and fight. At this point in time, the Philistines had sent out their champion, Goliath, a giant of a man, 9 foot something inches tall is what he was. I think they say probably about 9 foot 7 inches long, tall. I think the tallest man that I ever saw was probably about 7 foot 2, and I'm looking up at him like that. I'm doing that with Noah now, is the way I feel about it. He's growing too fast. Him and Rowan Beaufort, they're growing too fast. But the fact of the matter is when we look at these, at the height of this man, he was very, very big. He was armed to the teeth. Saul said about him, even from the time of his youth, he was trained in warfare. They saw how big he was going to be in his youth, and they trained him to be a warrior from his youth up, is basically what he did. David was sent by his father because he had 3 brothers that were in the battle arrayment of Israel. And as he was, they were there, Jesse sent David, and you think about this, a 12, 13, 14-year-old boy, and it wasn't just across the street. He sent him probably around 20-something miles to go where that battle was. He had a lot of confidence in that boy. And he sent him with cheese and bread and gifts for his brothers. And when they got there, and you know the story of how Goliath had stood up, and he'd done this 40 days. Send out a man from your army that he may fight me. If he defeat me, we'll bow down to you. If I defeat him, then you bow down to us, is basically was what he said in that day. Well, David got there, and he heard that man hollering that cursing out, and he did. He cussed them, is basically what he did by his gods. And he heard this man saying these things, and he said, who is this uncircumcised man that defieth the army of God? And making the story shorter, David said, I'll go. The words got back to King Saul, because in 40-day period, nobody had even thought about going out to battle. If I was looking at a 9-foot man, I doubt I'd want to go out there and go hand to hand with him. I doubt if any of the great fighters that we know of would have wanted to get out there and go in hand to hand combat with that warrior. And here this boy says, I'll go. And you know the story, how he went before Saul and he told him about the lion and the bear that he had slew, and how he delivered the lamb. And the story is that finally Saul said, you can go. You can go, but I'll arm you. And he put the helmet on his head, his own helmet, been too big. He put a coat of mail on him. All of this would probably weigh 20-something pounds on a 12, 14-year-old boy. As he did that, the scripture said that David looked at what he had on. He said, I haven't proved this stuff. I can't use this. I can't use this stuff. Now, our thought today is coming from the 40th verse. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip. That's like a little satchel, you might say, that he had on his side. And he said, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, that's our reading lesson. This is where we're going to find our thought today. Our thought today is going down to the time when that he went down to that brook. And he chose out 5 smooth stones. Here, over the years, I've had different people ask me the question, why did he pick up 5 stones? Didn't he have enough faith to know that one would be enough? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He had enough faith to know that God was going to deliver that man into his hands. He done said it 2 or 3 times, and he even told Goliath the same words. God is going to deliver you into my hands, is what he said. So why did he pick up the 5 stones? How many of you, if you have to go out and pick up some rocks, how many of you just bend over and get them? Well, that's the way I was taught to do them, but after a little while, your back starts to hurt, and you finally realize the best thing to do is to get down on your knees and choose. And if you're choosing special stones, you want to get close to them. You want to get close enough to them that you can pick out the very best stones to carry with you. Now, as David did this, what he did was he got down on his knees. And this is my opinion here. It doesn't say that, but I believe David was praying. I do. I believe he was praying. He was not praying out of fear. He was not praying out of a question mark at that time in his mind. But he was praying out of faith, talking to God about what was needed for this battle. He'd already tried these weapons. You'll notice his weapons that he carried with him that day. He carried a staff. The staff that he carried was a shepherd's staff. It had probably about 4, 5 to 6 foot long. It had probably a metal point on it, is what I find in the history of them. And that metal point being down there at the bottom, and then it had a hook at the top for pulling and grabbing, is what it did, to pull sheep back into place. But that point was for prodding, is what it did. It was a defensive tool much of the time. And when he fought the bear and the lion, probably the very first thing he did, you know, most of the time, we think of him taking that sling and taking a rock and hitting him. He may have, but he may have very well went up to that bear with that stick and slapped him really hard with that staff, is what he may have done in that day. But I also want you to know, he carried not only the five stones, but he carried the sling in his hands, is what he did. He had the weapons that were needed. But let's talk about the five stones that he carried with him. By the way, he had one more weapon that he carried with him. We'll get to that here in just a little bit if you haven't figured it out already today. But let's talk about the five stones and probably the type of prayer that he was praying to God. Most of the time when we pray, we talk about our needs. We talk about the things, God, that we want and need in our lives. But the scripture tells us to do a little different. Brother Sonny elaborated on that a little bit this morning as he got ready to pray in Sunday school. And I appreciated what he said in that day. But the idea that we want to bring to your attention today, as he was down there picking out those five smooth stones, and as he was talking to God, he was talking of his faith. He had the experience to know what it took for a battle. He had not faced a man like Goliath, but he had faced a lion and a bear. Now, I realize the bears over there, they're not like a grizzly bear. They're not that size, but they're usually, when they stand on their hind legs, they're just about as tall as a man. Their claws are able to rip a man apart. They're able to, by their power of their swing, they can tear and beat a human being to death. The same thing for a lion. And my understanding is it wasn't like a mountain lion or a bobcat or some other version of a small cat that they were talking about. But in those days, the African lion that we recognize so much today was in the area of Israel. And we're talking about a lion is what we're talking about. We recognize them as powerful beings. They are animals that can kill, they can maim, they can tear asunder. They can kill individuals. That David went into a battle knowing what was needed to deliver the lamb that was in their mouths. They had a desire to consume. David called upon that experience when he told David, King Saul, about this experience. He wanted him to know that he had fought in his life, that he had fought for a cause. The cause on that occasion was his father's sheep. But here, he wanted to fight not for King Saul, not for the nation of Israel, but for God is what he wanted to do. We as God's people today, we need to be ready to fight the fight that is needed today. I want us to get ready for the second stone and the third stone. I believe he found them close together, if you want to say that, because basically, in the book of Ephesians is where that I'm going to go here for just a minute, because there was something that David knew that he needed. There are different times throughout the book of Psalms and in the writings of Samuel, David would talk about how that God was his shield. He was his armor, if you would. David realized that he needed protection going out into this battle. Do you ever feel like you need protection in this world today? There's times that we look around us in different places and we get nervous, don't we? We get nervous, especially in these days when people seemingly have no care for people's lives. I want you to know something. Goliath had no care for David's life. He did not. His idea was, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to take your head, and then I'm going to feed your body to the vultures, is what he said. That was his intention. He had no desire or love for David's life. And so David knew that he needed armor in that day. And the armor that he desired more than anything, that God would be his shield. You can find it different times, as I said before, throughout the books of the Psalms, how that he's made that statement. He called him a buckler. He called him a high tower. I want you to know today, if you're living in a time of fear, to live and look to God. Notice I said live first. Most of the time, we cower at the problems of this world. We look at the wars and rumors of war that's going about. We look at the troubles in Washington. We look at the troubles that's going on even here in Murfreesboro. And we tend to have fear in that day. But if you pray for the armor of God, God will protect you. It's what he'll do. He will shield you in these days. Now, I want to speak on a spiritual term today, though. What Paul stated in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, this is important for us as church members, as saved individuals. It's important for us to get these things on today. I didn't say in our mind. I said put them on. What Paul said, and you've heard this quoted many times. What he said, he actually says it twice in the 11th verse and in the 13th verse. He says, put on the whole armor of God. You know, we live in a day and age when church members are not putting on the whole armor of God. We're not. We're playing warfare with the devil. We are. We're playing war with the devil. Goliath was a great symbol of the devil, truthfully. The devil is much larger, much mightier, much eviler than we are. And you better have the proper armor on if you're going to fight with the devil. The devil gets into your mind, first of all, doesn't he? And when he gets into your mind, what does he do? He starts playing in around in there. And he'll make you wonder sometimes about your salvation. Sometimes he'll make you wonder about your parents or your mate. He'll make you wonder about the things that you've been taught in the house of God. He'll make you wonder if there really is even a God. You ever been there? If I asked for a show of hands and nobody raised their hands, am I right? The devil is that great big, he's that great big giant of an evil thing that is out there, and he's after you. You that are saved, he cannot get your soul, but he can steal everything that you have. I want you to realize that today. He can steal everything that you have. Think about Job. Yeah, God gave him the opportunity to prove him, but he did. He took everything that Job had, children, houses, land, animals, everything. Finally, he took his health down to the very point of death. Yeah, he was. That's where he was at. You know, I think a lot of times how blessed I am to be as healthy as I am. And then I hear others talk about the sicknesses that they have. And when I think about them, I had a good friend just a few years ago. He'd been doing well. He lived well. He had a good job. He just retired, was living. He was traveling. All of a sudden, he came up with cancer. And just a few years later, I went to the funeral home. The devil is after us. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But he said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil days. And having done all to stand, this is the 13th verse, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Know the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. Know this, that truth is what's going to carry you through. Why do you need Jesus to carry you through this life? Without him, you're weak. Loins is this part right here. And what that is, that part right there, is where you get strength in the fight. You hear somebody talk about fighting, they'll talk about footwork. They'll talk about foot placement. You go to basketball. You ever seen somebody throw up a wild shot running? You see them? You don't teach them to do that, do you? You tell them to set their feet. You tell them to go through the same motion. You tell them to take that hand and push that ball like that. You tell them it starts in the legs. What about football? You ever heard, seen a football player, a quarterback throw a ball when he's up in the air? I saw TSU's quarterback do this the other day, and it got intercepted. You know what he did? He jumped and throwed while he was running, and it went right directly to the other player. You don't get nothing in it. That's why he said, put truth here. That's where your strength is going to start. Get in to the Word of God. Hold on to that truth. Need to move along. Listen, what he said. He said, you have the breastplate of righteousness. Yes, your righteousness is here around your chest. The Romans in those days, they had a metal plate that was over their chest. Most of the time, it was molded somewhat to fit their body. It showed their physique in that day. It showed the power that they were to have in that. But it also covered them. We're not talking about salvation, by the way. We're talking about the way you live, the way you act. In church, go another step further. Go another step further out there. When the soldiers went out to fight, they didn't fight at home, usually. They went to a valley like they did in Goliath's day. And they stood on each side and they prepared themselves for the battle. They had to get their hearts right. They had to get their minds right. They had to get themselves in the right place that when that general or whoever it was hollered charge, they got up and they ran into the battle. If you'll go back and you'll notice in the battle with Goliath that David ran towards Goliath. We as God's people, we need to run into this battle. There's lost souls out there that needs us today. They need us to follow God. They need us to show them the way. Then he said, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That's that Bible right there. I'm taking too much time on this, but I want you to get this. That word right there will give you footing. Yeah, you've got the truth. You know the truth. You've heard it and everything. But how do you back up? I never heard of turf toe until a few years ago in football. I still don't really understand what it is. But they tell me that a quarterback or a running back cannot hardly run with that. A turf toe. When they first talked about it, I thought that little cut that you get in between your little toe, that skin break, it wasn't what it was. But I know that that's painful. But what I'm trying to say to you is, when your feet are not shod properly, you're not going to be able to fend off the wiles of the devil. It's important for you to learn what's in this Bible. It's important for you to know what's there. I know that when you turn over here and you start reading and some of this, it gets like, what in the world is he talking about? How am I supposed to pronounce these names? Make a stab at it is all I do. You know that about me. I just make a stab at it sometimes. The idea is, know what's in here. Brother Carver made the suggestion to us the other day that it would be good, and he promoted it in his church, for everyone in the church to read their Bible through all the way. He says, I've done it for 30 years. I can't say that I've done that. But it's a good practice. He said, you won't pick up every little thing, but every time you go back to Genesis or you go back to Matthew, you learn just a little bit more. You will. Being shod with the preparation of the gospel. The last part of the armor is, above all, taking the shield of faith. Goliath had a shield. You know that? He had an armor bearer that bore it before him. Did David have a shield? No. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. It was God Almighty was his shield. Remember? He had faith in God that he could handle that cause. Now let's get to the weapons. That's the third stone. And Lord have mercy. He said, whoops, I got one more. He said the helmet of salvation. I'm going to skip that one so we can get into the weapons. And the sword of the Spirit. Again, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. See, it's not only footing for you, but it's the weapon. When people start telling you that our God is not here, that He's dead, that He can't save like you did, like you tell them you got saved, that word right there will prove it. It'll prove it to them without a shadow of a doubt. But you cannot prove it if you don't know where it's at in there. And this is the second part of the weapons. Praying. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all faith. Praying is one thing. You know, supplication is something else. It's a type of prayer, but supplication ends up being more begging. We get down and pray here on Sunday mornings, and I'm going to be nice to you. I'm going to say there's a big percentage of y'all that just bows your head, Lord, thank you for my blessings. Thank you, God, for what you've given me. Lord, give us a good service. Please, Lord, help Brother Hackett. Thank God you did that. You ever had one of those times when things really went bad? It was kind of bad, but it was good. When I got the message here a few weeks ago from Christian, said, Hannah's down praying. Her daddy was down at Victory Church, Victory Missionary Baptist Church, doing a job down there for them. When he got the message, he quit working. He went into the church to the altar, and he started prayer that was begging. I'm telling you for sure that I did the same thing, not at a church, but where I was at. I know Paula did, and I know Brother Ron and Sister Rhonda did the same thing, and everybody that got the message. When you hit a situation, not even like somebody, one of your family members lost, you start to beg. I'm still begging for Lane. I'm still begging for these others. Right quickly, let's move on. He had two more rocks to pick up. We kind of covered it a little bit. See, all of these are tied together. Faith ties them together, don't it? When you start facing an enemy and you think about the experience that God's given you, you start thinking about that faith and you start thinking, well, Lord, how can I do this? I've never done that before. No doubt David did the very same thing. But yet he was so brave in what he said and what he did, but he relied on that experience by faith. He relied on that armor by faith. He relied on his weapons by faith. Turn, if you would, to the fifth chapter of John. And I don't call this chapter the faith chapter, but really the first several verses really are faith. But I want you to drop down to the third verse. And it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, in times of trouble. Boy, that's hard to do. When you've got trouble on your hands, maybe you've got family members that's out and about somewhere they don't need to be. Maybe you've got things that's going on at work that's got you trouble. And it's hard to glory in that. That's what he said. Listen to what he said. For tribulation worketh patience. And patience worketh, experience. And experience, hope. Now, hope's another word for faith. Do you see what we're getting at? See, all of this is tied together by faith in God. What he said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which the Holy Ghost giveth unto us. That's where we get our strength, is in that. Well, I've got one other point, one other rock, and I'm going to make this quick. How do you go about the work of God? Oh, there's so many times that Brother Stewart mentioned this morning. He said, there's times I get on an action, and I'm going to paraphrase. He said, I get where I'm trying to do something, and I get right down the way a little bit, and he said, eventually I turn around and I think, Lord, where are you at? And he says, I finally looked back there and the Lord had never asked me to do it. There's a lot of times we do that, don't we? Moses is a good example of that. But I want you to listen to the words of David when Goliath had cursed him and said, I'm going to give your body to the birds to eat on. David said, I'm going to give your body. He said, I'm going to take your head. But what David said in this, and let me get my... 46th verse. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hands, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thy carcass unto the host of the Philistines this day, unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all of the earth may know there is a God in Israel. What he turned around and said up there earlier was, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Is that what we do? That's what we should do. If I do anything good, God done it. If I done anything wrong, it was me that done it. I'm thankful today that God's given us some stones. Brother Brad, that's going to be our message. I know I went a little long, but I'm just thankful that God's given us some stones to hold on to today. I appreciate your attention. I pray that we take all of this into consideration today. We have an altar here. Maybe I don't say this enough. This altar is here for us to come and pray. We usually think of it as being for sinners. If you're in a state today where that maybe you need help, either with your armor or the weapons, and you want to talk to God about it, right here's a good place. Maybe you are lost. Maybe you do need to be saved. This is a good place. What I would ask for us as God's people, this is a good time for us to set the example for those that are unsaved to come and pray while we stand and sing.
Won't you stand? I'm not going to sing a traditional invitation song. Turn over to page 90. Page 90. Help me, Lord, to stand is the name of this song. Ladies sing on the melody in the chorus.